760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And hey, one of the best ways to start the day and find that joy in the journey is with prayer. Allison, I believe it's your pray day.
Sure is. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of another week here on earth as we are here to humbly do your will. We ask for your protection. We ask for your peace. We ask for your patience and your guidance as we guide each step in our life, asking you for your will in your way.
And I could have used some prayers this weekend. I was manning.
What'd you do?
I was manning an omelet station at the pancake breakfast at Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. I saw this guy next to me flipping omelets, and I got a little too cocky. Okay, and so I'm trying to follow in his footsteps. And you know, I had a few successful flips, but I'll be honest, I had a few crash landings as well.
I am laughing because the last conversation we had a couple weeks ago was just a story about you cooking, and it didn't go well. So, but I love that you're persistent, right? And you don't let those past scares stop you from trying.
Exactly.
So go for it. Good job, Josh.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's just kind of a bummer to look at a kid in an omelet line and you flip his omelet and half of it kind of fell off the pan.
Oh my
and
gosh.
You're like, well, I know you wanted an omelet, but I hope you like your eggs scrambled now. So we're going to be scooping some of this off the table.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
They say pride goeth before the fall, right?
Listen, I'm just proud of you, Josh. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Mother Teresa said we're not called to be successful, just faithful.
So, amen. And you are. You are faithful. You keep going.
You know, speaking of faithfulness, I had a conversation with a deacon at Holy Spirit that was just so, so powerful. I was talking to Deacon Bill and asking him, you know, about having, you know, steps to take to just have a deeper understanding of God's love. Because sometimes they can get convoluted with...
Oh, yeah.
You know, just distorted thoughts. And he asked me, when you go to the chapel, what do you do? And I said, you know, I do a lot of prayer. I, you know, unfortunately, I feel like I talk a lot more than I listen. You know, what's that?
Easy to do. It's easy to do.
There's the phrase in Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But mine is, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. Unfortunately, I kind of default to that. And he said something I thought was so beautiful. He said, when you go to adoration, close your eyes and just imagine you're a child curled up in your heavenly Father's arms.
That is the most beautiful image and the most relaxing and comforting image, you know, because it's not, he knows what we need, right?
Totally.
And it's so easy. Yeah, it's easy when you go into the Adoration Chapel to just want to throw everything out there at him. Please, here I am. But he just wants us to be still. He knows.
Yes,
he knows.
Yes, yeah. And then also, he said this too, because I was like, yeah, and I typically bring in a bunch of spiritual reading and try to beef up my spiritual and intellectual chops in there. And he said something I thought was so great. He said, it's better to know God than know about God.
Amen to that.
Yeah, is that a great phrase?
It really is. Absolutely. Because you can know all the information about the faith. You can know everything about God. But if you don't feel him truly in you and have that relationship.
It's a very powerful conversation. And, you know, just he was just reminding me of that. I think it's the Acts formula, right? Acclaim or adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication.
Yes.
And, so I started kind of defaulting some to that. But I really kept trying to go back to that image of being curled up in the arms of the Father.
I just love that, Josh. That was so beautiful. I'm so glad you got to share that with us this morning.
Yeah, and you know, I'll just say really quick, just closing, St. John Vianney was discussing with someone about, you know, his prayer time in the chapel, what he does, and he said, I look at him and he looks at me.
Beautiful.
Isn't that a beautiful way to phrase it? And I'll just close with this. The Catechism puts it this way. Contemplation is a gaze of faith fixed on Jesus, a silent love. That's Catechism 2715.
Beautiful, beautiful.
just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Elizabeth Von Varnick from St. Andrews discusses their Christmas nativity play. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Lucy. Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacks the gospel reading. But next, Sister Elfie from the Salesian Sisters of St. John Bosco discusses the All Saints Advent Mission taking place December 15th to 16th.
Tonight.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are with Sister Elfie from the Salesian Sisters of St. John Bosco discussing the All Saints Family Advent Mission she's leading. It's taking place tonight and tomorrow, December 15th through 16th. How are you, Sister?
Hello, Josh and Allison. Thank you for having me here. This is so exciting.
Oh, we are delighted. It sounds amazing, this wonderful Advent retreat. So we just are so thrilled to have you on.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. And Josh, I'm sure if I had one of your omelets, I'll be really, really grateful. Thank you so much.
I love it.
I'm honored. More encouraging,
beautiful.
I'm sure, than the disappointed frowns on some of those kids' faces. But yes, we're so glad to have you here. And we are, again, you are from the Salesian Sisters of St. John Bosco in New Jersey. You're leading a two-night family Advent mission with Sister Gloria starting at 6 p.m. at All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody. This is fantastic. And I believe your mission centers around working with and for young people, especially the poor. What does that look like today in the communities you serve?
That's amazing. So, Josh, I'm going to go a little bit of background for those who don't know. St. John Bosco have given his life for young people. And with St. Mary Mazzarello, co-founded the Salesian Sisters, our real title is Daughters of Mary, Help of Christians. We are in 97 countries, over 10,500 sisters. So, Josh and Allison, if you meet a Salesian sister in any continent that you're traveling, it's the same sister Salesian sister is speaking to right now.
Wow.
And this whole charism, yes, isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yes. And so this all started with one dream when St. John Bosco had a dream at 9, when he had a vision of Mary and saw this group of boys, like very rambunctious, and Johnny Bosco had a temper. And so he started like saying, stop fighting. And then he started like punching the kids. And then this man appears and said, that's not how you win their hearts.
Yeah.
And they're not listening. And so that dream that he had at 9, Mary had shown John Bosco of like this boys turn into wolves. And then she said, by loving kindness, by being humble and strong, you're going to win their hearts. And then she said, look at them, the wolves turn into sheep.
Uh-huh.
And then realized that this now, Mary said to him, this will be your work field. And so this is where we come from and the place we're in. We go out there and our young people who sometimes are the most vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, we follow the footsteps and the spirituality of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So in our reality, in 97 countries, we're blessed to have schools, oratories, spiritual direction, and Newman centers. But sometimes we are just out there, especially for the poor in spirit.
Ah.
And so we accompany the young people, and believe it or not, Allison, I was talking to you a little bit earlier,
yeah,
of our young people, bringing them closer to Christ and having that relationship that you guys were talking about,
yes,
earlier. They're the ones who end up like bringing their families back, their parents back. And so when we say working for the young people, working for the poor, yes, physically, like without means, we're there catechizing them, evangelizing them, proposing a relationship that they would have with the Lord, and walking with them as a presence and accompanying them from here on earth to heaven, God willing, one day.
No, that's beautiful.
Yes.
So Salesian spirituality, you know, it emphasizes reason, religion, and loving kindness. So how do these principles shape your daily life and the work with youth?
That's amazing that you said. I'm sure you guys have your own kids.
I have three.
So this is what we call the preventive system. So St. John Bosco have like, imagine this, one priest walking the streets in Torino, Italy, and then there's 300 boys, rambunctious boys. And then when he turned and says something, they all listen. And the people around him were like, how are you doing this? And so I don't know. It's the way, like, you just have to see. And so the system became our spirituality. So what this means is that when we work with anyone, for us also as sisters, this is the life that we also have. There's always a reason. Mm. Like, you know, what is your why? You know, and so explaining to young people, accompanying them, not just saying because Jesus said so. But you have to go deeper into a place we're in, like you have to meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
So that's reason. And then having that rapport, loving kindness. You can't just like ask a young person. You can't just like talk to a parent. You can't just like speak to one of your sisters or your family members and expect that like, okay, I'll do whatever you say. But for us, it's very important that St. John Bosco even said, it's not enough that you love the kids. They need to know that they are loved.
I love
And so this loving kindness, yes, this loving kindness is the rapport that we have to build that relationship with anyone. And of course, the faith comes along. Believe it or not, Allison and Josh, like, we're in 97 countries and majority of the kids that we serve in other countries are Muslims and Hindus.
Wow.
But and they ask, like, sister, why are you wasting your time? They're not even Christians. And because for us, Don Bosco is like, it's enough that you're young that we would love you.
Yes.
And so he said, help them to be good citizens of this earth, to be a good citizen of heaven, and God will take care of the rest. The grace of God is more powerful than what we can imagine. And so we're just vessels. And so for us, that preventive system, that reason, religion, and loving kindness, it's what we use in order for us to accompany, to evangelize, and just be with them, the sign and bearer of God's love in their daily lives.
Wow.
Wow. That is an amazing mission. And community life is also an important part of your mission and vocation. Can you describe what community life is like for a Salesian sister and how it supports your mission?
So the beautiful part about community life, just like any family, but for us, is like our community sends us out. And so for us to be able to work with young people in one part of the world is as if we're also working in another part of. So if I meet a young person that was taught by a Salesian sister or a Salesian priest, I know that that's my young person.
Mm.
So for us as a community, we're international. So I was just sharing this with one of my sisters the other night. In my community of 21 sisters in community, there's like 7 nationalities. So
that's amazing.
It's such a beautiful, enriching place in food, culture, way of living, different values and stuff. But the most beautiful part is that we enrich each other in one common goal of bringing Christ to young people and to everyone that we meet.
Mm.
And so for us, we know that wherever we are, we're here in Georgia with Sister Gloria. But let me tell you, all my sisters back home is right here with us praying for the catechesis that's happening tonight, or the one that we're going to be encountering with other people that we'll be meeting this whole week.
Wow.
Yes.
That's beautiful, beautiful words, sister. So what would you say to a young person today who, you know, might be searching for meaning, purpose, or even considering a religious vocation?
Oh my gosh. Okay, to all my young people there, and for the vessels that the Lord is going to use to speak to young people, first and foremost, tell them that they are loved.
Oh, number one.
That they are loved beyond everything, no? And the second thing is that stay close to Jesus and Mary.
Mm.
In this world that a lot of people will disappoint them, they will never disappoint. And then third is, like, I'm inviting all young people, don't be afraid to go out and serve. This is the way that you get to know, like, Lord, what are my gifts?
Mm.
Lord, what is my purpose? Lord, what can I do for you? Or you've given me so much. Give me the courage to give back. And then they will be surprised at the things that they're probably like, I don't think I can do that. But they'll be like, wow, I want to keep doing and serving. And then another thing, this is very important for us, is that we can't get to heaven by ourselves, right? I pray that our young people will search and ask God for holy friendships. This is very important because you don't need a lot of people, like your Instagram, your Snapchat, and all these things that you're in social media. My dear young people, pray that the Lord will give you holy friends that will exhort you and will challenge you to do better, not to like be scrupulous, but like, hey, let's do this together. Let's go to church. Let's go to confession. Let's invite our parents to pray the rosary together, or let's serve together as a family. Because let me tell you, the young people today, you are the light. You are the present church, and you are the ones that's giving us hope for this church to continue to go on.
Yeah.
And so for those who are discerning your religious vocation, continue to have this deep relationship with the Lord. He who calls us every day, we live our fiat and ask our Blessed Mother to accompany us in this journey. And so, my friends, like, discerning is not like, should I be a sister? Should I be a priest? Should I be married? No, discerning is choosing God's will every day.
Yes.
And if you are faithful in the yeses and the fiats of every day, the Lord will help you in your big yes as you discern your big vocation, the big V for vocation.
Amen.
That is so fantastic.
Amen.
And really quick, we are about to wrap, but I do want to ask, because you have this amazing family Advent mission that you're leading. It starts tonight at All Saints Catholic Church. Really quickly, could you share with us some topics you'll be talking about, and who should attend and why?
Yes. So, Josh, for all those who are listening out there, families, so parents, grandparents, kids, little kids, 31-year-old kid, 27-year-old, just come. So the first night, we're going to talk about living the spirit of Advent, not just this 4 weeks, but how to carry it over in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ in our lives every single day. So that's tonight, living the spirit of Advent and being anchored with peace, hope, joy, and love. And the second night, which is tomorrow, is living the spirit of Bethlehem, cultivating the spirit of Advent. And now the following night will be, how are we having our hearts as a little Bethlehem? So you can just see the analogies of what's happening. And then this place that is a source of nourishment, a place where the Lord was born and chose to be in. So I hope that you guys can come. If you can come with your family, praise Jesus. If you can come only by yourself, praise Jesus. Just come and be able to receive and be able to fellowship with your brothers and sisters who loves the Lord and wants to grow in holiness. Amen.
Fantastic. Amen. Well, for more information about the mission, you can check out All Saints website, allsaintsdunwoody.org, and organizer asking for children to be registered for this mission, which starts tonight, Monday, 6 p.m. All Saints Catholic Church. And for more information about the Salesian Sisters, go to their website. SalesianSisters.org. Thank you so much, Sister Elfie from the Salesian Sisters, for chatting with us. This was so spiritually nourishing.
Thanks, Sister.
Amen. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Elizabeth Van Varnick from St. Andrews discusses their Christmas nativity play. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Lucy. But next, Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, unpacks the gospel reading for today.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta. How are you, Father?
Good morning, wonderful.
Woohoo!
Well, we are blessed to have you unpack today's gospel reading, and thank you again for giving us that good old-fashioned soul food.
All right, so when are you opening a restaurant, Josh?
Listen, I know. He is going to be the lead chef.
Yes, and I'll go into partner with you, and we'll call it Father and Sons.
What do you think? Cute. I love it. I love it. I'm ready.
That's a great concept. Maybe a winner.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Let's begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we gather here seeking your guidance as we come to understand your will for us. Guide us in our journey, and may we always follow you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So we have the Gospel of Matthew today. So when Jesus had come into the temple area, the chief priests and the elders of the people approached him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who has given you this authority?" Jesus said to him in reply, "I shall ask you one question, and if you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things. Where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin?" They discussed this among themselves and said, "If we say of heavenly origin, he will say to us, 'Then why do you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they said to Jesus in reply, "We do not know." He himself said to them, Neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I wanted to talk about authority. It's a battle we have our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
From the time we're born, we battle with our parents to establish ourselves. You know, we kids always, I jokingly say, kids always want to round up their age. You know, I'm four and a half. I'm almost five. And we can't wait to get to 18 because that gives us more autonomy, we think. We can't wait to get to 21. We can't wait to move out. All these things that we think give us more autonomy and less authority. And we do this once we get out of it, we get out in the world, then we want to fight with our bosses, or we want to form our own business so we don't think we won't have any bosses over us. But then people of small businesses understand that they are not solely the boss, that they actually have customers that are their bosses.
Oh yes.
And it's this battle with authority our whole life. And one of the things I talked about the other day with some Boy Scouts was that fact that one of the things that people often think is the difficult part of priesthood is celibacy. That's usually what people are most concerned about. If we just allow priests get married, everything will be fine. We have more priests. And I said the most difficult thing of the promises that a priest makes to the bishop is not celibacy. It's submitting to authority.
Wow.
It's obedience.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to submit to a higher authority, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and realize that you don't have control at that point.
Mm.
And you lose that ability to say, this is what I want to do versus what God wants us to do. And I think we pray that in the Our Father, right? The idea that we want your kingdom on earth. We want of this what you want for us.
Yes.
But we really don't always live that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the gospel today, Jesus is, you know, they're worried about whose authority. Where do you get this ability to do these things? And they knew in our heart of hearts where he was getting this authority. But they wanted to challenge him because they wanted to see what he would say. And then the opportunity that he offers is like he really doesn't say anything. It's kind of like this past weekend's gospel. He doesn't really answer the question, but he says, go and tell John what you see and hear.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the authority comes from God, obviously.
Yeah.
And our authority comes from God, ultimately. The problem is that we try to battle this experience of who's in charge and my will versus your will, and it gets us in trouble a lot of times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, gosh, well said, Father. And it's a reminder too, like I love what you said about the kids, how they try to round their age up, and then you get older and you're trying to round down, right?
Yeah. But there's a tipping point somewhere.
There you go. Don't look at my license, please. But yeah, I mean, that is such a great point. I mean, what do you think, Father, is a good advice for someone who is maybe, because it doesn't just always go for obedience to other people. I mean, but it's also one thing that I you know, the bishop works, like God works through the bishop to give you guidance, right?
I pray for that every day.
Yeah. So,
especially when I have a meeting at his office.
Yeah, you go. So, I mean, I wonder if you have any advice for people who, you know, are struggling with authority, but not just that, but perhaps that they're getting a hint that God is calling them to do something, or God is speaking through another person to perhaps tell them to wait or take a step in a certain direction. When you have to trust so fully that God is guiding you through authority, how do you stay docile to that in faith?
It's really hard. There was many times in my priesthood over the years that I've had to submit to God's will. There was a monk friend of mine that he went in to ask the archabbot for something, and you know, the archabbot's immediate answer was no, and said that, so the monk said to him, did you pray about that? You know, there's a difficulty because we have an understanding of what we want to have, and when someone says to us no or not yet or not in that way, it's hard because we have already prepped ourselves for a yes. right? So we've already understood ourselves that this is how we want it to be done. We're just waiting for the final approval.
Yeah.
And when we hear no, it's like, it's crushing.
Yeah,
totally.
Or we hear not yet, or not in this way, or hey, I think this might be a different way you should look at it. It's crushing because we believe that we've discerned this, we've understood this, or even if we didn't discern it, we just want it.
Yeah.
Right? And we live in a society that if we want something, we buy it.
Yeah.
Or we want something, we get it.
Instant gratification, right? Instant gratification.
And it's not always the best thing. Instant gratification rarely is really good for us.
Sure.
And sometimes waiting and sometimes saying, I'm going to hold off on this. Or one of the things I've told people over the years is that the Amazon shopping cart is a great thing if we use it.
Yeah.
You know, you put something in there and you wait a week. And if you still need it, then you can buy it. And people have said to me they've saved a lot of money over the years with that advice.
Wow.
You know, because otherwise you buy it, you get it in you get it the next day or 2 days, and now you have it and you go, I don't even want this.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't need this.
I think it should be illegal to have Amazon on your phone, Father, right? It's just too much power in your pocket.
Self-control. And I say that as if, hello, there are many areas in my life where I'm like, Dallas, and just wait a little bit. Just take your time.
Well, go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I was just saying, because there's no boundaries between my dumb and my thumb, right? It's just a swipe and it's on the way. I mean, there's no reason I should be able to order a Snuggie or a Segway at a stoplight, you know? But but what were you going to say, Father? I love that advice, though, like putting it in the cart. I mean, and spiritually, how many things should we perhaps put in the cart and pray about versus going buy now or act now?
Yeah, or just say I got to have this now, or I want this, or and when you hear no, it's difficult. You look at a kid, you know, Mom, I want to buy this in the store, and you tell them no, they look like they just like, you know,
you're
ready to kill them or something.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And their disappointment. So and then you go, oh well, okay, because they don't want to disappoint people, but it's not a matter of disappointment or not a matter of trying to be mean. It's a matter of saying this is not. We don't need this now, or this is not good for us at this point.
Hmm.
We can hold off.
How,
and sometimes waiting that anticipation of something later is a great thing.
Oh yeah,
that's wonderful. And just very quick, Father, how do you think we cultivate peace in that in between space? You know, because it can be crushing at first. How do we sit in that place of peace and trust in those times? You think?
Well, ultimately, it's surrender and saying maybe God has a better plan for this, and seeing where God has, and maybe looking back and seeing where God has already done that in your life, and going, yes, He's just affirming that now for me, that He's already done that for me before.
That's beautiful.
That's wonderful.
And I think that was a great takeaway, Father. Josh did the takeaway question today.
Yeah, there you go. Father Eric Hill, pastor, Transfiguration Catholic Church, and today's spiritual director for The Quest as well. That was a home run.
Go, Father.
Thank you, Father.
All right. Blessings to you both. Thank you.
God bless you. Indiana University quarterback Fernando Mendoza has won the 2025 Heisman Trophy, the awards given each year to the most outstanding player in college football. And it's the first time an Indiana player has ever received the honor.
Ooh.
How about that? And at just 21 years old, Mendoza led his team to an undefeated season and a national playoff spot, earning praise for his leadership and consistency on the field. But here's some even better news. Off the field, Mendoza is open about his Catholic faith. He attends Mass, organizes Bible studies, and says his faith helps build unity and purpose within the team. And he says his greatest inspiration comes from home. His mother battles multiple sclerosis, and he has raised thousands of dollars to support MS awareness and research.
Beautiful.
Later on The Morning Quest,
Elizabeth Van Varick, St. Andrew, discusses St. Andrew's Christmas Nativity play. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Lucy.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison, and good morning, Josh.
Great morning, Chuck.
Yes, it is. A young girl was once asked by her priest, what is a saint? And she pointed to the beautiful stained glass window that adorned the perimeter of her church where they were standing when the conversation took place. And she said, Saints are those who let the light in. Mm. The great virgin and martyr, St. Lucy, whose name quite literally is derived from the word lucid or the light.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Sicily on the eastern side of the island in a town called Siragusa, spelled as though we would spell Syracuse, New York, interestingly enough. Lucy made a secret vow as a young girl to remain a consecrated virgin. Now, her parents were opposed to her decision, but this is interesting. When prayers at the tomb of St. Agatha miraculously resulted in the cure of her mother, who had been suffering from a very long and grave illness, both Lucy and her mother were suddenly on the same page. And I just thought that was interesting. You know, a little point of trivia, St. Lucy would draw inspiration from St. Agatha, as both of them would find their way into Eucharistic prayer number one, which is no doubt being proclaimed in many of our churches today on her feast day. And of course, those seven virgin martyr saints are Agatha, Agnes, Perpetua and Felicity, Cecilia, and then of course, Lucy and Agatha. But she did reject the arranged marriage to the young pagan man. The dowry that was earmarked for her pagan bridegroom was instead donated to the poor. Now, this infuriated the jilted bridegroom. He became enraged, and he outed her as a Christian, which at the time, under Emperor Diocletian, who was the cause for many martyred saints during those late 200, early 300-year time frame, Christianity was still illegal. Because it wasn't until the year 314 when Emperor Constantine ratified the Edict of Milan that Christians could safely even be seen in public.
Wow.
So Lucy was ultimately persecuted and tortured for her Christian faith. Her eyes were gouged out. Mm. She was stabbed to death. And that is why she is the patroness of those who deal with any malady, imperfection, or disease of the eyes, blindness, glaucoma, cataracts, macular degeneration, color blindness, you name it. And she's always called upon as an intercessor in those situations. And, you know, we think of all the people in our lives who go through these type things.
Oh, yes.
I know I, for one, seek the intercession of St. Lucy quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also the patron saint of Sicily. So, again, another amazing virgin martyr saint, a personal favorite of mine. My niece actually took St. Lucy as her confirmation name. I am her godfather. So
wonderful.
It was a little bit of coaxing on my part, I have to admit. But we presented a few saints to her, and that was the one that resonated most with her. And
wow.
That's who she chose.
No, that's so beautiful. Yeah. A quote from St. Lucy, "Those whose hearts are pure are temples of the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
And talking about her purity, you know, beautiful. What a gift. That's
yeah.
what we're called to be.
Yeah, well, the Virgin Martyr Saints, this is what they offer us, this idea of purity. And, you know, mm-hmm. back during these times, women were viewed as nothing more than baby makers, mm-hmm. really, to make male babies, Roman soldiers, so that Rome could expand mm-hmm. their empire.
Mm-hmm.
And when a woman chose to do something like this, it was met in the same way that St. Lucy was met. And that's why we have all these Virgin Martyrs.
Yeah.
They chose to be the bride of Christ. Spousal mysticism is a term we hear sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think we used that with St. Gertrude a few weeks ago. That was a term she used to describe her life. St. Cecilia, same situation. And they stood firm in the truth. And, you know, we're still talking about them today.
Amen.
Wow. It's so interesting, too, to see this monumental courage that blossoms from somebody you would never expect. And you think, what else but the grace of God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuels that kind of heroism. So she was arrested, as you know, and subject to torture for her faith. And this legend that, you know, her eyes were gouged out, but her sight was miraculously restored, making her patron saint of the blind. And just so sad about her death. But again, like it says in scripture, death is swallowed up in victory, because, mm-hmm. you know, she may have been killed through a sword thrust to the throat in 304 AD. But here we are talking about her almost 2000
yeah.
years later, and she is inspiring and has inspired countless people in their quest to embrace their vocation and be more faithful Catholics and Christians.
A remarkable, almost unbelievable 20 churches in Rome are named after St. Lucy.
Wow.
Or Santa Lucia. I was hoping Josh might sing Santa Lucia for us today. I know he's the musician in the group. Maybe we'll
yeah, I don't know
maybe.
The song, but I guess I could just improv something and be excommunicated if you really want me to.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. In fact, one of the legends in Sweden, girls line up, because she's wildly venerated in Sweden as mm-hmm. well as Italy and here in this country. But the girls proceed down the aisle to the song of Santa Lucia. Mm-hmm. They're all dressed in white to represent St. Lucy's purity. And
yeah.
one young girl is hailed as St. Lucy. She's walking in the end, and she has a wreath around her head with candles, because as legend had it, St. Lucy would bring food and provisions to the Christians who were hiding for fear of Emperor Diocletian in the catacombs. And it was so dark that she would light these candles atop the reef on her head. Wow. So that she could see her way through. And to that point, there are some who believe that she may have actually even been the inspiration for the Advent wreath.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, interesting. Wow.
That is.
Yeah. So another interesting fact, in Scandinavian countries, her feast day is marked by Lucia procession, say that five times fast, where young girls wear white dresses and crowns of candles, symbolizing her role as a light bringer.
I'm going to send you a YouTube video today. I watch it every year on December 13th of this happening.
You see it?
To the strains. I watch it on YouTube, through the magic of YouTube. And I'm going to send it to you, and it's going to be the best 4 minutes of your day.
Wow.
Really? Okay.
I'm going to send it to you both.
So pretty cool, too. After her death, many miracles of healing, especially related to vision, were attributed to her intercession.
Well, I'll share a funny anecdote on that front. We visit Highland Beach, Florida as a family, and less than a mile down the road is the Church of St. Lucy. Mm. And everybody's sitting around the pool one day, and there's a gentleman who's struggling with an eye ailment, and he was quite concerned. He thought he was going to go blind. And everybody's ruminating and discussing it. And finally, I said, did anyone stop to think that less than a mile down the road, we have a church named after the patroness of good eyesight? Why don't we all do a little 9-day novena for Phil?
Yeah.
And you're not going to believe it. He was healed.
Praise the Lord.
Really?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
You knew that.
They are our prayer partners. Amazing. They're our prayer partners.
Yeah, he came out of it fine. And, you know, again, this is just our saints at work. They wait for us. They wait for our prayers. And I always say when you call upon a saint during their feast day, I believe their intercession is especially powerful.
Absolutely. I have here some words from Pope Francis about St. Lucy. He said, St. Lucy tells us that life is made to be given. She lived this out in the supreme form of martyrdom, but the value of the gift of self is universal. It is the secret to true happiness. Man does not become completely fulfilled by having or by doing. One is fulfilled by loving, by giving of oneself. And this can also be understood as a secret of the name Lucy. A person is full of light to the extent that he or she is a gift to others. In reality, every person is a gift. He or she is a precious gift. And
amen.
It's so true.
Serving each other as members of the mystical body of Christ. St. Lucy, Virgin and Martyr.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And Allison, always pulling up cool articles for us to unpack. This one's from Church Pop. Did you know that there really is? So anyway, Lucy of Narnia is really a blessed.
And I didn't know that. Blessings. And we just heard from Chuck, talking about St. Lucy. This is a different Lucy, but how cool is this?
Yeah, so one of the most beloved characters in Chronicles of Narnia is Lucy Pevensie, but there's a real life Blessed Lucy of Narnia, right? And the feast day is November 16th. Her story is just as remarkable as any fictional tale.
So those unfamiliar with the Chronicles of Narnia, it's a famous Christian allegorical book series by C.S. Lewis, later adopted into popular films. And Narnia is not just imaginary. It is based on a real town in Italy called Narni. That's wild.
Yeah. And as a child, C.S. Lewis discovered the name in an atlas. He loved how it sounded and stayed with him, eventually becoming the name of his legendary world. So some believe that Lewis may have also been inspired by Blessed Lucy of Narnia when naming his young heroine, though it's never been confirmed.
Nope. So what we do know is that Lucy is a name deeply rooted in the church. Several saints bear the name Lucy, including St. Lucy of Syracuse, whose name is prayed in the Roman canon of Mass. Blessed Lucy of Narnia lived in Italy during the 15th and 16th centuries.
And after her death, her body was found incorrupt, a powerful sign of holiness recognized by the church. In 1710, by the way, Pope Clement beatified her, affirming her life of heroic virtue and faith.
Her story reminds us that God's saints are often more extraordinary than fiction, and holiness is always possible, even in quiet, hidden lives. So prayer to St. Lucy of Narnia, God of holiness, you wonderfully adorned Blessed Lucy with the marks of your passion and with the gifts of virginity and patience. With the help of her prayers, may we never be conquered by adversity or the allurements of the world.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Coming up on The Morning Quest,
Elizabeth Von Varick from St. Andrews discusses their Christmas nativity play. By the way, remember our memory verse, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, for the Lord is near.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Elizabeth Von Varick from St. Andrews discussing their Christmas nativity play. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
That's so exciting about this play.
Absolutely. So exciting. And first off, when is it taking place?
It is actually this Saturday, the 20th, at 5:30 p.m.
Wow, that's awesome. And so how did the idea of producing a Christmas nativity play come up at St. Andrews?
Well, I had just formed a new ministry called United Families, and the focus of that ministry was to get families with children to come together.
Yeah.
And when thinking about an activity that adults and children could come together to do, the Christmas play was born.
And I think that is so wonderful because it kind of brings Christmas to life, right? When you see the nativity, you see nativity sets right at home and places, but when you actually have a play, it puts it into motion.
Exactly.
You know, you get to see it live. So that is awesome. So who was involved in making this happen?
So a lot of people. While United Families heads this activity, it's great in that it brings a lot of the different ministries and parishioners together.
Yeah.
We have people from the Knights of Columbus, the Over 55 Club, music, and the choir, and then, of course, our children volunteer to participate, and then we've got people in as stagehands helping out move the sets and props. So.
Great. Everybody's involved. I love it. A parish community, a beautiful family, right?
Wow, that's amazing. And this is only your second year doing the nativity. So what'd you learn from last year that's helped shaping this year's production?
Funny enough, the thing I learned the most was actually not to sweat the small or the big things.
Oh.
Yeah.
When we're doing something that glorifies God, like he definitely has everything just click into place. Last year, I was so worried about, oh, we didn't cast this part yet. Like, who's going to do this?
And
this year, it was like, well, when I just kind of let go, he filled in all the pieces and very stress-free.
Oh, that's so cool.
And this question might kind of tie into the answer that you just gave us, Elizabeth, but what has been the most challenging part of putting this together this year?
Coordinating all the different people that sign up in the different ministries and things like that. And that first rehearsal is always the most difficult, trying to, you know, get the kids to learn their lines, stand here. This set moves here. So just coordinating everybody.
And talking about learning the lines, if people are not involved in acting and plays, it takes a lot of work. I mean, memorizing things, whenever I see my niece or my, you know, siblings in the past go on stage, I'm like, oh my gosh, it really takes time to learn these things.
Yeah, I'm actually really amazed that, I mean, I've got 5 and 6-year-olds learning several lines and they just blow me away.
Praise God.
That's incredible. Now, are you involved in like the theatrical direction, all that good stuff?
I did write the script and, you know, had Father approve it and everything, but it's all scripture based and, you know, just trying to simplify so that way the kids can, you know, understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, and then just, I don't know, God put a vision in my head, I guess.
No, I love it. And how did you get involved with this play?
I guess, I don't know, I had a calling to do something within the church, and forming United Families ministry kind of directed me to that.
That's amazing. And so what is there a specific part of this play that you find touches people's hearts every time, tugs the heartstrings?
For sure, the very end of the play. It's when we've got the actual nativity scene with Mary and Joseph in the stable, and we have always been blessed to have a live baby Jesus.
Live baby?
Yes.
You have a baby this year?
Yes.
How old?
I think at the actual time of play this week, she'll be, I think, 2 months.
Whoa, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So always been blessed with that, and just when all the kids come out on stage and they're singing songs, and it's just, it's a really touching moment and really highlights the reason for the season.
So are there adults and children in the play, or is it more children?
It's all children.
Okay.
The adults are more backstage.
Yes.
Or, you know, helping direct all the little ones.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, helping out with music and ushering and set up and breakdown and all those things.
And how beautiful is it that these kids get to experience the nativity by participating? Yeah. You know, and even the parents, as they're watching the kids out there, or even those that are not parents of the kids, just seeing it come to life. I just feel like what an amazing experience to have.
Totally. And then it's one thing to pray the scriptures. It's one thing to read the scriptures, but to enact the scriptures, I think that's there's a different level of spiritual muscle memory that takes place, right? I mean, these kids are really tattooing God, you know, the story of our Lord and Savior, his rescue mission into their hearts.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing Bible study in itself for participants and viewers.
Yeah, it definitely brings the scripture to life and really immerses the kids in Jesus's story. And again, emphasizes the true meaning of Christmas.
So, Elizabeth, why do you think it's so important, especially for children, to experience the live nativity story?
It definitely, like you mentioned, just kind of imprints that story and the importance of what Christmas is about, not the gifts.
Yes.
But, you know, Jesus's birth and everything that means.
The greatest gift we've ever received, right?
Exactly.
And we ever will receive.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm glad you have a real baby. That is so...
special.
You don't have to improv baby Jesus like a 13-year-old, his legs dangling over the crib, right?
Oh, no, I love it.
No. That's amazing. Wow. And so where can people find out more about the event, and how can they attend?
So on standrew.org, you can find more information about the play as well as location. It's in the Family Center at St. Andrew. And hope to see everybody there.
And this is for everybody, correct?
Yes,
not just the family.
Event.
Awesome, awesome. So I hope everybody makes it to that beautiful event. And again, it's this Saturday, December 20th at 5:30 at St. Andrew's in Roswell. And again, which location? It is in the Family Center?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth Van Varick, parishioner at St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Roswell, for talking to us about this wonderful experience that I think everybody should experience each year.
Absolutely.
Within the church.
And bring your kids, right? Bring your kids. And maybe God's calling you to start a nativity scene or play at your own parish. What words of wisdom, parting words, would you give to those people who feel that tug on their heart?
Trust in the tug. God's telling you something.
That's a cool bumper sticker.
And be not afraid, right?
Yes.
Be not afraid. And again, don't sweat the big stuff or the small stuff, right? Just do it to glorify the Lord. And when you're doing it with that in heart, in your mind, I think that's exactly when the Lord works profoundly.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you again.
Finding joy in the journey. This is the Morning Quest.
It is 8:54. And you know what, Josh? I did not get to tell you what I did this weekend.
What did you do?
I had the beautiful privilege to be at Mary Our Queen for the Christmas market and the St. Nicholas experience. And I had a blast. Beautiful, beautiful community. Great vendors. And we did interview Anthony DeMauro on our show last Friday. And I got to see him and all of the different relics. And it was absolutely amazing being there. And golly gee, we have three more conversations that we had with him that we're going to play coming up in the future. But he had this little book, Instructions on Veneration of Relics.
Yeah.
And this is some good information. So, because a lot of people don't understand what that is and what it means. Mm-hmm. So the mode of receiving the blessing by the saints is through touch. So as you pray, feel free to gently touch the saint's relics. If you are a parent, feel free to touch the relics to your children and ask the saint to bless them. So again, all we do is we're just touching those relics. And many parishes throughout the Archdiocese have relics in the parishes.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some heavy hitters. If you go to the Adoration Chapel at Christ the King, is a first-class relic of St. Carlo Acutis.
Yeah, and that chapel is so small and tiny and quaint. It's beautiful. So... prayer one for relic veneration, you know, you say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Through the prayers and intercession of the saints, and you name the saint. So if you're at Christ the King, St. Carlo Acutis, Please bless me and these sacramentals so that those who encounter me in these holy relics may be blessed. Amen. So again, I mean, we are calling on their intercession. They're our prayer partners.
Absolutely. And what's so cool is different saints, you know, kind of have different specialties,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
My sweet, wonderful mama is a big fan
Saint
of
Anthony.
Saint Anthony.
I am too. I think
he's
a lot of us
up
are.
And shown off, and I told you the story. We lost our passports,
yes,
and tickets, and when we were in Europe, and found them at a rando hotel. So you never know. I mean, sometimes these saints really, I mean, it's ultimately God's grace, but and become friends with them, right? I mean, the prayers of a righteous person availeth much, and no one's more righteous than someone gazing on God's glory.
No, absolutely. And again, if you want more information of the Relic Project, because if your parish has relics, you can actually put them in their website so people can come and venerate them. It's www.therelicproject.org. And yeah, amazing. But a beautiful time at that wonderful festival. I had a great time. So many vendors.
Fantastic.
I plan on bringing some on the show so they can talk about their mission.
Yes, wonderful. Well, let's close this show out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.